Any other guests?
Yeah, Jeff Tornga, T-O-R-N-G-A, or G-B-A, H-A.
Anyone else?
Yeah, Junior Jackson.
Hey, I got your name last time. Oh no, okay. I have it somewhere. I didn't listen well the first time. But thank you. Anyone else?
Jill,
Amanda, yep, sorry.
That's okay, I forgot about
you. I know, right? Anyone else? Perfect, welcome. I met Jim.
All set?
Yeah.
Thank you. All right. September minutes were passed out. No, I'm asking to move quickly, but if you see anything that needs to be changed, corrected, no question. Case of beer. Nope. Anybody see anything needs to be changed? Anything corrected? All right. The attendance was on the back too. I don't know if anybody has any questions or changes. Did we miss anybody? Anybody know? I think we got, tried to get everybody. All righty. Hearing none, moving on. We did not get our financial report yet from our accountant, so we will do both September and October in November when we go to Kentwood. Speaking of which, before I forget, I know Mike's not here, but can you please remind him we're coming to Kentwood next month to the high school? All right, and there's a $125 limit on the food. So remind him, please.
Okay.
All right.
Got it.
If he has any changes, I know last year we didn't meet in the cafeteria, we had to move it. So if he let me know as soon as he knows if there's a change where we're going to meet, all right, I can give it out to everybody.
Okay.
Thank you. Please not here. Andrew, referee in chief.
Yep. Just to go over a few things. I did speak with him, and so far, clinics in the District 6 are taking care of the referees. Biggest thing right now that's been kind of brought up are some of the rule changes. I covered them real quick. The stickers, that's right, will not be going around checking helmets like you'll see, such as in soccer games.
Andrew, can I interrupt you a second? All of the reps should have seen presidents. I sent out a copy of the memorandum from USA Hockey on how that's going to be handled. So everybody has a copy of that. Get it to your coaches as well.
I've already forwarded along to schedulers and
good.
People of the association so they can handle this down.
We're trying to get this stuff out so everybody understands and reinforce what you're saying is
yep.
How this is going to be handled per USA Hockey.
Yep. So even if there's a request by a coach to play a check, it's going to be up to our discretion. There's a responsibility of the player and the coaches. Another thing, too, is the rule changes. There's been some discussion going on because of a few different penalties are now automatic 2 and 10, so we're going to check for behind, big charging, and head contact. All of the penalties aren't any penalties, is that they are the classification of the penalty type in a game misconduct. And coaches who are bringing up questions or complaints about it really shouldn't be about the way the officials are costed. Why is it being USA Hockey is trying to move forward to play up the game as much. That's why those are basically. Another thing too is 2 misconducts in 1 game is an automatic 5, or excuse me, it's automatic game misconduct. If that is recorded on the score sheet, it is recorded as a 2nd 10-minute misconduct, it is recorded as a game misconduct. The reason why it's recorded that way, in the next that a player gets a 2 and 10 early in the game for a puck, if it's reported properly, that player could get a 2nd game on the penalties on the score sheet. That is reported. Yeah. Misconduct, you don't report it, report the song. Also,
hey, wait a minute, let's go over that again just so everybody's here. Because with 2 and 10 the first time.
Yep.
And then it's 2 in a game.
Correct.
All right, so there's 4 penalties, yep. Not 5.
Correct.
All right.
Match penalties. There were a couple match penalties over the past couple weeks in District 6. One happened with the West Michigan team, and one happened with the Lansing team. It was AAA, and I don't have the information.
Questions for Andrew? Good segue. We had those. The next item on the agenda was the match penalty hearings. I had 2 of those last night down in Jackson. This year, when the rink has the capability, they are sending us video with them, which, I'll be honest with you, last night, the video was a huge help because the official made a call, but after the hearing committee went through the video two or three times, it was discovered that he did not get the right kid on that match call. He got the wrong jersey number. Had we not had that video, we could have been debating till the wee hours of the morning what to do with that kid, and he could have ended up sitting for a long time. So that, and it isn't going to be the case everywhere. It isn't going to be the case in every game, certainly not the men's league games. But that last night was huge. That video absolutely cleared a kid who was unfortunately had been sitting for about 3 weeks and shouldn't have been. So it's new. It's a new recording system they're using. It actually is pretty nice. The paperwork we get is a lot cleaner. It's a lot neater. Andrew, one thing I will tell you from my experiences sitting on this side of the table with match penalties, when your guys are making a match penalty call, and I've said this to Art, do not send us two or three sentences. They have got to be explicit with what happened, how it happened, and why. Because a very vague, I mean, we've had a couple of match penalties where that was a waste of our time to even get together. Because there's no explanation, there's nothing there that helps us understand why they made a call on a match penalty. So let your guys know, and I've said this to Art before, they need to be clear and concise and explain what's going on and why they have a match penalty call when they do it.
Yeah, and I can't speak for where
others. Absolutely.
Basically, just call it, tell it, and leave it at that. So more descriptions.
It helps us because none of us were there.
Sure.
Especially when you don't have video.
Yeah.
We need a picture painted for us, and the only way we're going to do that is between the player and the official, and that helps the whole process.
Sure.
I have books. Someone needed books. I have them, so make sure. I always forget, so make sure you come and grab them.
The fact that they had the wrong kid, we did issue the supplemental match on the correct kid.
We don't know the number of the correct kid. We know that the opposing team, it was out in Minnesota. It was a Lansing kid and it was a Phoenix junior Coyote kid. And blame Minnesota. And they got the kid from Phoenix. But who the kid was from Lansing, we have no idea. And there's no way to tell. And the official was sure when he was talking to us through the phone conference that it was this kid from Lansing that he had called it on. But after looking further through the video, it was not.
But normally we would.
If there was a way to find out who that kid was, and I'm pretty sure he's not going to raise his hand, yes, it would have been an opportunity to issue supplemental discipline there. So, Brian, your coaching director.
Okay, coaching clinics are in progress, and from everything I can tell, our numbers suck.
I'll have big numbers.
You're going to have huge ones in late December because I did a level 3, and right now I don't see any other level 3s on the calendar, on the website. I had 18 people. I'm not sure. I don't think Slobo had very many more because I think he ran a level 3 last weekend. So,
see, I'm going to do a 3 once I can get Daniels to give me dates and times workout, but I'll do a 3 and a level 1 at the end of December. Luckily, I don't have them posted yet.
Luckily, Joe has a room that's used in their trucking department, which is theater style, and can seat about 200 people. Because at the way it's looking, they're all going to be in Big Rapids in December. So,
lovely place to come and visit.
And it always snows on my drive up to there, too. I know we've got a level 1 in Muskegon. We got a level... That's a... October 19th, East Lansing's going to have a level 1 on November 9th, Kalamazoo November 10th, Ann Arbor November 20th. The only other level 2 listed right now is in Ann Arbor on October 23rd. I originally was planning on doing a level 2, but the way the numbers are looking, I'm not going to waste my time. I also have the High Performance Clinic October 26th and 27th. where if you need a level 2, you can get a level 2. If you need a level 3, you get a level 3. You can get a recert on your level 3 by attending that clinic. It's either the 26th or the 27th. You do not have to go to both days.
Where's that at?
It's at Kalamazoo.
The Radisson Hotel. And the thing about that, no matter what level you are, you either get 1 or your level 3 renewed. Not 10-19,
11-9.
1, 2, or 3.
October 19th.
There's a couple hundred people there. And signed up, encourage you guys to sign up for the seats. They're telling us they're going to close the seats. That's a wonderful opportunity to get your automatic level up and just go for 1.
That HPC is also your coaching director clinic. You need to go to one of those. Doesn't matter which one, but they do need to go on and register. I think if they register under the ACE clinic, I don't think they're going to get a recert or anything like that, but they will, you know, I think it's free if they roster under the ACE clinic portion. That's our yearly ACE clinic that we normally do in conjunction with our August meeting, but we delayed it because of the HPC. It's all of the national staff will be there.
When is that?
October 26th or 27th. Radisson in Kalamazoo. It's on the clinic site.
It's in your minutes from last.
So if you got a research, do you have to go to this, or can you do it online?
You can do it online.
Okay.
But this is just a great one because you're going to learn about ADM all the way through from,
you know. Other people either, so that's going to be cool.
Hey, Brian, can level 1 go to that?
I believe you can get a level 1 by doing that.
If you don't have a level 1.
Yeah, I believe you can get the level 1 as well,
okay.
if I read that correctly.
Mm-hmm.
We're making some changes to the coaching director program. They're slow to happen. I will remain as the D6 coaching director, but what's going to happen is I'm going to have a couple of assistants. I've got somebody in mind to help me out in this area, but I'm working on the other side of District 6, basically the Lansing, Ann Arbor, Jackson area. If your coaching director is active and wants to be considered to take on a bigger role, have them contact me. They got to be dedicated. As I talked about at the last meeting, we're kind of changing the way we're going about business. We're tired of trying to force people to show up to things. We're going to help those who want to be helped. We're not going to waste time spinning wheels, having nobody pay attention. So, got 21 associations in District 6. If only 5 of them want to be a part of it, then those 5 associations will reap the benefits of what we give. But some of you guys probably don't know what the coaching director program, we are the voice of USA Hockey, fight back and forth with your associations. The stuff that USA puts out, we give supplies. A few years ago we gave the skills and drills, $80 DVD sets. We gave them to your associations for your coaches to use. We educate. Every bit of material that comes from USA is coming through the coaching director program. So we're here to offer our services to help your programs. We want people who are interested in helping back, is basically what it comes down to. Am I missing anything? I don't think so. I think that's about everything. Questions? Never.
All right. This time, I would like to skip through the old business and move down to the first item on the new business. We have with us a presentation from Mark Fackler, who is working with the company Unequal Technologies. And I'd like to, Mark, I'll turn the floor over to you and let you do what you'd like.
Sure. Real quickly here, I'm with Advanced Sports Protection, and we are online team sales consultants here for Unequal Technologies. Biggest thing out there going right now, obviously, is player safety and ways to keep players safe. Obviously, all the concussion things that are going out. I can tell you firsthand, 14 years of coaching. Some of you guys that do know me, my last two were running the Kalamazoo North American League franchise. I was an assistant coach at Western Michigan for 4 years. Coaching college hockey and junior hockey for the last 14 years. The one thing, especially most recently, that decimated my teams were injuries, and most recently even concussions. My junior team last year had 22 concussions. 22 concussions and countless other injuries. Actually, Al Avery was our goalie consultant. He could tell you how many times he walked in with guys in training, or maybe it was probably the worst I've ever seen. Unfortunately, I had nothing to do to help them until it was too late, until this summer, until I found out about some of these products that are just coming out. What you've got here from Unequal here, this Kevlar padding, it was one of the top 15 on ESPN's list of sports innovations over the last 15 years. It's quite good. You'll get a way to keep this succinct and not be here all night is to show you a couple of very quick videos here to give you a little bit of an overview, and I can kind of show you a little bit of the gear and how it works. But
Unequal Technologies, born in the military, forged on the gridiron, focused to do just one thing in sports better than anyone else, to protect players from head to toe. Unequal protects, like no plastic or foam can. Unequal owns more than 70 worldwide patents and patent pending, covering military-grade, battle-tested composites fortified with Kevlar, performing to the strictest standards to protect those that protect us in law enforcement and the armed forces. Unequal's coated Kevlar materials reduce vibratory impact shocks so much, it was only a matter of time for the sports world to start playing it safe.
Four!
Identical helmets. Equal protection, right? No. This one uses Unequal supplemental head padding to help reduce the severity index by as much as 50%. Unequal is made of patented composites fortified with military-grade Kevlar. Many pro athletes in the MLB, NHL, NFL, and X Games already use Unequal. Shouldn't you?
You're not doing everything you do if this is not going to be part of the helmet.
Unequal is so good that I would surely love to have this on every player in the NHL and every player who plays in a contact sport.
I actually fell 20 feet to my head. My helmet had a pretty big crack in it. My head was totally fine. I just took a few days off and then I was back on still.
Anything you wear a helmet with can make a great difference. It has for me.
If you're a parent and your son is playing a contact sport, you got to be crazy if you're not using Unequal.
I would recommend this technology to anyone who's a high-risk player, anyone who wants to perhaps be proactive in their head injury protection.
He says that the sting is gone. He says that the impacts really don't slow him down. And, you know, he's hit his head, and he really doesn't stop.
You can't really feel it. With Unequal, I can really enjoy the game where it's amazing stuff.
A leading accredited independent laboratory tested popular helmets for protection. This hockey helmet failed, but treated with Unequal supplemental protection, it passed with as much as a 42% lower impact reading. This baseball helmet, as much as a 55% lower reading. This football helmet, as much as a 53% lower reading.
To be honest, I couldn't tell you what's in it. All I know is it works.
Well, Ryan Clark told me that larger helmet's also lined with this Kevlar that James Harrison also has.
Clark pointing to his helmet as he makes the tackle there on Rice, second and five.
The guy has had two concussions in the last 3 weeks in Kevlar. Got it. Don't worry about it.
Very clean. It's just a good thing.
According to the company's CEO, Robert Vito, if it can stop a bullet, it can stop a blitz.
That should have shot my ribs.
He's got a team that has this and a team that doesn't have this. The team that has it has a definite advantage over the team that doesn't.
The ability to help with head injuries and head trauma, good golly, that's the biggest thing that could happen to our sport.
If you start finding that everybody who put in a helmet is feeling better after the game, has less headache, has less a problem, and we start even seeing tangentially that there are fewer people having concussions or head injuries, no pun intended, it's a no-brainer.
The game of football is doing a disservice, and most colleges are going to do a disservice to the kids if this is not included on every team and every conference.
Unequal takes such a big percentage of the impact away, it's just kind of feel invincible. Like getting hit by 90-mile-per-hour balls daily. It takes a toll on you, but once you like finally find something that can kind of stop and mitigate the feeling, it definitely helps your confidence.
2 weeks ago, I was warming up for my game, and I got hit in the back of the head. I was diagnosed with concussion. This is my first week back. I feel like I could hit any ball without anything bothering me. It matters a lot because because you can't be afraid to hit the ball or go in for a tackle or anything like that.
Helmets would make the game more aggressive. Nelly sees the headbands as a compromise.
I don't want to wait for a tragedy.
Her team has become part of a pilot program, the first in the nation, to test these new Kevlar composite headbands. Rob Vito is the CEO of Unequal Technologies, the Pennsylvania company that created this new form of padding.
It conforms to the body, it's flexible and malleable, but they can stop a truck.
Look at Unequal Armor Skin's protective strength. Offer him $1 million, and LA Kings athletic trainer Dan Granger will not be able to rip it. But you can cut it.
I'm King Kong, you can't hurt me!
The protection that it provides is unsurpassed. We know darn well that a lot of our players hit our heads on the ice, hit our heads against the glass, and we're hitting the heads with a puck or an elbow. So using the Unequal product dynamically reduced a lot of impact for us. We've had 4 concussions this year, and not one of them can be attributed to any contact that we can see coming directly to the head.
MLB says it hasn't considered helmets or face masks for pitchers, but does see caps with a protective lining as a practical option from Unequal Technologies.
It fits in the hat nicely. This is good because it's nice and flexible, and from the outside you really couldn't tell that there's anything in there.
How is the relationship right now with Major League Baseball? Are you guys getting closer to a deal to find a cap that makes everyone happy?
Well, we're getting to the point where I can't discuss it. So.
Oh, that's good.
This segment here to show the uses of one of the custom fitting pieces here.
You see the green Unequal padding everywhere, and for good reason.
Zach Lund, a former star SMU running back and now an undrafted rookie free agent as a fullback with the Minnesota Vikings, knows a thing or two about Unequal protection.
It hurt my shoulder in the Northwestern State game. I actually separated it. And I finished that game, you know, a bit of pain. So I decided to try to find something for my shoulder pad that would help, you know, deflect some blows.
You're always looking for an edge in product development. And if you can provide more life to a guy that's as productive as Zach Lyne, you do whatever it takes.
Unequal wanted to come by and check my shoulder out and see if they could help me out. They did. They put it in my shoulder pads. They put it in there. And I haven't, you know, I haven't had a problem with my shoulder since.
Zach Lyne just was in shock, basically, about how he felt the hits were totally different than he's ever had in his shoulder pads.
Coach June Jones has seen to it that Unequal is a big part of the team's protection from head to toe, while Zach has realized a childhood dream playing in the NFL. He was quick to ask for Unequal in training camp.
Coming in, playing fullback, going to the Vikings camp, I wanted that Unequal in my shoulder pad. As soon as I asked for it, they had no questions. They just put it in, you know, with the confidence that your shoulders are not going to have a stinger. But you just pretty much lay into a hit instead of worried about, you know, how much it's going to hurt. You don't feel it in a direct spot. It just spreads out around your shoulder. So that's what I like about it.
So you can see, obviously, this has started with, you know, the NFL has been big with this. It's transitioned to a lot of other different sports. You also want to see that last clip a little bit there, just because obviously there's a big emphasis on helmets in the other clip. But also, we've had a lot of testimonies here in the fall, especially with the Kevlar, as we would call it, body armor that's protected. A lot of quarterbacks with rib injuries, things like that, they've been hit. And they're claiming that impact really hasn't been felt, you know, with their having soft ribs and whatnot. So it's quite amazing, the product. Just real quickly here, just to look at the helmet insert, this is the one that's probably getting more toward a hockey helmet. It's called a Max. It's on the sheet. This is something that's an insert that goes into the helmet. As you can see, I've cut some of the sides here. The front lobal piece always stays intact. We're able to trim the other three sides here to fit according to the size of the helmet. So this would be the thing that I would wear for myself. There's also a piece that you saw that the gentleman had there, the football player that they started to cut. This is The dead stop piece here, it's a custom piece here. You see it's foam on the one side here toward the skin, toward the body. And then this is the outside. It's the Kevlar material you can cut and do whatever you want with, insert into a, put as a wrist guard. You can put it underneath the shoulder pad, reinforced equipment. They've also made Kevlar insoles for feet that runners in cross country are using. I can tell you this, I know it's no joke, but I actually put on one of the shirts. I've coached 14 years. My wife's got a lot of built up frustration. I let her hit me with a hockey stick. You don't feel it. I was shocked. Granted, that was my wife. She's a wee little thing here, but took pretty good whack at me, and it was pretty good. You can see there's a few different shirts here. One, this is the long sleeve. This is the cobalt. This one has the padding of forearms already built in. You can take these pads in and out to where they're at. You can wash the shirt. It's a dry fit material shirt. And this one here, you've got checking over the sternum, the forearms, like a built-in slash guard. You've also got padding with the Kevlar right on the spine here that would go just above the person's pants, all the way up toward their spine, toward their neck area. Similar shirt. This is a barricade. This is the only one to be more toward a hockey player. You're going to get the rib inserts here, a little bit like a football. There's stuff in the shoulders here, just like both of them do here. This one is a bit more, this one's a short sleeve. Usually comes in a sleeveless pattern. For the football, there is a short sleeve option. And then if, the last thing I would show you real briefly here is just a girdle type thing here. I know padded pants, not always the best, but they've got the Kevlar inserts here that can help reinforce those in case, instead of putting something custom in there. Those are, present some real nice options here for protection. You know, especially if you're a goalie, you go down, your pants slide up, there's something there that would be right there for you. That would be a nice help. You know, when, the thing that I would like to get out of this a little bit, number one, obviously you guys are leaders here in West Michigan in youth hockey. You know, one thing I'm happy with doing is to go to each and every association and present to parents here and show what some of these products can do. You know, be able to organize some links that I can send out to you to get discount pricing on these things here. You have a flyer here. It's very similar, but to be able to present these options that they have to protect young athletes. Feel that to have that opportunity to do that. But the other thing that I would want to mention real quick here from an association standpoint is in front of you. Not only do we work with Unequal here, but we also have a partnership with Shock Doctor. We're able to do association with both discounts on the Shock Doctor mouth guards. I know those get a little pricey. You know, just to give you an example, I know their Gel Max one, which is probably one of their lower priced ones, very effective one. It's about $10. You know, we get pretty good discounts, like 30+% on once you started getting like $48.96 and getting some of those orders. So if you're looking at an association, that's a real nice piece there for a pretty low price. So that's also one thing I want to throw out to you guys here. I plan to stay around for a bit. I know you guys have your meeting here. I'll stay around. I can have you guys see the samples, play around with them, look at them, whatever. I can happy to answer any questions afterwards. And I wonder what you guys have going here. But happy to show off one of the state-of-the-art products here that's come out. Players stay healthy.
So. You guys carry neck guards?
We have an ability to do as a team order through Shock Doctor neck guards. They do not have the Kevlar in them.
I saw a picture on the with it looked like a skate with some of that on there. Is there some sort of a Kevlar boot that, like, for defensemen that are blocking shots?
There's not a boot per se. They kind of jimmy rigged a little bit of a piece of the custom Kevlar for that. The one you saw with the skate is called armor skin that they kind of cut and they couldn't tear apart there. That's an option. That's probably something that's more for an abrasive to go against a cut or. Best example I'd give you, like a sliding short in baseball. That's not as much as like that dead stop pad where you can have that Kevlar compression.
Approximate price for the helmet insert?
The helmet insert rate, MSRP is right around $70, $75. And you know, the thing with the discounting here for associations, obviously kids play their sports. We know sports are getting expensive. I know this isn't certainly an investment in an athlete, but for the money parents are starting to put into putting just foam on their athletes with an Under Armour shirt or a Nike shirt that's again put it with foam, it's not real overly protective. For not a lot more money, you're getting some actual padding that can help you out. But you know, the shirts are going to be in that around the $100 range, and then that's why I want to work guys getting to get this in their hands, is to be able to offer some discounted associations and groups and order online and make this a real easy process. Nothing where you have to go collect a whole bunch of orders and get what they need.
A lot of the helmet pieces fairly interchangeable. I mean, hockey helmet.
Yeah, I mean, like there's one that they kind of like. They look more toward football. It's called the Gyro. The Max one here, hockey, lacrosse, ski helmets. And again, these discounts that can be, they want to get some of the non-resident hockey. They play lacrosse or they play soccer. They want shin guards. There's a lot of shin guards that are out. So there's other opportunities for them. Not just hockey. So I know hockey, there are multi-athletes. They want to be protected in other sports. There's other opportunities for that as well that, we can make.
Mark, in looking at this, we were talking earlier with this new sticker thing from USA Hockey. I'm wondering if this is something that equipping a helmet with this type of an insert, this Max insert, is something that could extend the life, if you will, of a helmet a couple of years.
Yeah, I mean, that's certainly a possibility there. I mean, you're looking at, I mean, it's actually fairly comfortable because you don't have the rigid foam that you have within there. It gives a little bit, and it's being an insert, and you're not going to get on the warranty or the liability of the helmet when you have the insert in. Once you start attaching those sensors and pieces into the helmet and moving stuff around, you start to avoid that certification right now, unless that changes in the short term. So that's why it's a supplemental insert. It could definitely, obviously, you would probably, the nice thing about a hockey helmet is you can adjust it a little bit and make it expand a little bit. It's not a huge one. Like, my helmet is extended all the way out. I got a big melon, I guess. Putting the insert in didn't really make a whole lot of difference in there, but I could certainly see maybe a slight adjustment in a player's helmet to have that insert in there if they were to use it.
Do you have any questions right now for Mark? We've got handouts, got his information. I would encourage you, if you're interested, to deal directly with Mark and contact him if you'd like him to come out and do a presentation, association, what have you. Thank you.
Thank you
very much.
Thanks.
Back up to the old business.
Yeah, I got it.
Right, one of the first things I wanted, it's not on your list, I've added a couple of things. We are recording, we're trying, thanks to Steve Miller in the back, our web guy, we are trying to audio record these meetings. So I do appreciate the sidebar conversations being kept to a minimum. And Steve was able to, through walking me through it one step at a time, we were able to get this last meeting in September uploaded to the D6 site. Now Steve, is it accessible for everyone at this point?
Yes.
It is. Okay. On the D6 site. So if you're interested in the audio version, we're going to try to put every month up there in addition to the monthly minutes. There are still a handful of folks that need to send me some missing information. I'm waiting on some an elected background checks out of Battle Creek. I think those just got sent to Shirley today, if I'm not mistaken, but I'm waiting on some bunch of information from Grand Valley. Joe, who's your safe sport coordinator? Jeff needs to, who's going to do that?
Oops. One
okay.
Of the drills volunteer.
Hash it out and then get that form filled out. Al, I'm waiting on some financials. I need a background check out of you. I'm pretty sure you're clean as a state officer, but I need the board, the whole board needs to do theirs too. Frank, I know we're working on, did you guys send your background?
I'm waiting for one more person.
Oh, okay, and then your financials are coming?
Yep.
Kevin, you're set. West Shore's not here, so. But that's pretty much what I'm waiting on. Oh, Holland, background checks, or Seth?
Shannon said she sent them.
Okay, I'll go back and double check that stuff, make sure.
Because Sherry wanted to, she sent the wrong.
Oh, Shirley said, okay, Shirley. All right, I'll go back and double check that. It may help.
Anyway, we've got a new board, so I got to review those now.
Okay. Working on that stuff, but I think that stuff's getting there. We need to figure out now what we're going to do with regards to the play-in games. I had asked folks to come. We need to make a decision on that so we can let the rinks know, or where it's going to be. We need to let the rink know who wants to host that and how much and when that weekend in January. So, question anybody? Anybody that has, I know I think we've had one. I don't know, Johnny, way back when you put something in. Is anybody else? Has there been anybody else? We've moved it around. Typically, you're looking at about $135 a team. Try to keep it fairly inexpensive because once they're done winning that game, they've got to move on to paying the fees for the district tournament. So, questions, thoughts, comments?
Kevin's idea last time where he rotated around, so I mean, it's nice to worry about.
Next year, you know, if we start here and next year we go there, and then the year after that, we pick three places and rotate it around and three.
Two or three places.
We go Kalamazoo, Grand Rapids, Lansing kind of thing.
But didn't we talk about doing it for 2 years at each place?
Was it? It could have been.
I thought we were going to look at 2 years there and then take it for the next 2 years somewhere else.
2 years in the same place?
Yes.
I don't remember if that was...
I just remember that as part of the conversation.
There's, we talked about future sites might be rotated through. Needs to be a double sheet facility, but beyond that, we didn't say anything about leaving it any one place for 2 years. Oh. Questions, comments, thoughts? Anybody have some place? We were in Lansing last year, so Grand Rapids area.
I mean, I could talk to Jack.
One sheet or two?
Two.
Okay.
We could take a look and see if that's an opportunity. I just
don't work right. Great, just so you know that. You're getting like 270 tops per game, no matter what, how long it takes.
Yep.
That's so. Just make sure Jack.
So we want to do that and say, come back next meeting and say, who wants to bid it? Who wants to have it? And this is the price, and we'll dictate the price.
We can table that and do it. I just for the rink. I mean, we're now getting into November, and my fear is that all of a sudden we're going to have 16 play-in games like we did last year, and we're not going to have the facility or the ice available. And I just the longer we wait, just scares me.
Well, the only reason I say that is we just got through the address scheduling meeting, so now we've got all the games booked. Now we got.
If you guys think we're still okay to get push it out to November, we can do that. That's fine. I just don't want to get us in a pickle where we don't have ice.
I can check with Scott Maynard out of Holland.
That's fine. If you guys check and get, you're looking at about like Kevin said. You're looking at we're going to pay about $270, or they're going to pay, and that includes your refs too. So you're looking at about $135 a team, not much more. All right.
Okay, so that's I like that.
An hour. Rough guess that.
Per game.
Yeah, sorry. So yeah, we're going to have. Going to be about $70.
So you don't have, typically, we do not have to worry about Bantam travel. You're going to have Bantam House. You may have Pee Wee travel. We've had one or two sprinkled in there. Pee Wee House, a squirt travel or two sprinkled in there, and then your squirt house.
You're not January 5th, right?
That's Saturday and Sunday, 4th and 5th of January. If you are interested, please email Kevin, and he will discuss it further with you and what is expected and what we're going to pay price-wise.
By November 1st.
By November 1st.
Perfect.
That way we can come to the meeting and on the 12th and we can get it figured out. Make sure you got enough ice. You're not starting before 8 o'clock in the morning. Make sure you're going to have enough ice to carry. We've had as many as 16 games. So if it has to go over 2 days, that's fine. Just make sure you're carrying, you got enough ice. All right. Block grant money. I have a $2,500 block grant that I have to submit a statement requesting that money, and here's what we're going to do with it. In years past, we've purchased t-shirts, do a goalie clinic. There's been some other biscuit in a basket for the girls in years past, so there's... We need to come up with a way to spend that money. And we can break it up and use it however we see fit. I can use 500 here. I can use 100 there. I can do pretty much anything we want to do with it. But I get $2,500 to spend. Last year, we spent all of it on shirts for the kids, the 8U kids that were at the Van Andel Jam in January. They're actually, I had one of the shirts with me in September, and they're pretty nice looking shirts. Kids seem to like them. Does not mean we have to do it this year. But I need to know tonight what you guys, and I asked in September if we come with an idea or two what we want to do with it, because I've got to send it in by the end of the month. Thoughts? Suggestions?
The t-shirt idea was great. I love the shirts.
And we still have all the logos.
Yes. Steve Pope.
Just do a different color.
Yeah. Dan, I see the kids wearing those shirts all the time.
Yeah.
Only walking through the mall here.
Frank, the only concern with a different color is it might be more money. I think we got those for about $5 a shirt with everything on there. We go white, that's true. I was thinking navy blue, but if we went white, that's cost-wise. Colors.
Some state games use this. Like we paid like $2.50 for this shirt.
Did you do those, Kevin?
No.
If anybody's got an in with a screen printer,
yeah, we do.
Go see. You know, I mean, have them run the different costs of the shirts because sometimes if they want the business bad enough.
How many shirts did we order?
$2,500
No, it was more than that. We actually took some more money from the district budget and spent another. It was $3,000 worth of shirts.
So we voted to kick in some more money.
Yep, we voted to kick in some more money, and we got. I don't know how many, 500-600 shirts there, plus or minus.
It was for my ACE director budget. Spend any money.
No, we don't. I don't think there's any way we can decide how many shirts. We just have to set it. We're going to limit it to 2,500, and then. Well, the problem with that is I've got to submit it. I guess I can submit it, asking for a shirt, or here's what we're going to use it for.
Right.
All right. Here, we'll use it for T-shirts, and then come back to November with prices from your screen printers.
Oh, guys, check with that guy that Gene used last year.
Yeah, I think she already has, and I think that she told him that if he wants to do it, it's right about the same cost as last year. But I think that was, she had this conversation a couple of weeks ago, and I think that's how we left it, was she was going to go to him and say, okay, here's what we're going to pay. So. Here the delinquent paperwork. You got a one-page handout from Tournament Language on the ever-popular $250 non-refundable fee. I just want you to look at that and understand, and please make note of that. Late is late, and if they want in, it's going to cost them $250.
Okay.
Minimum.
So I have a question. Because I've been going over this with my state games tournament. Post office doesn't postmark anything anymore. How do we know? None of my mail has anything stamped on it.
Well, we do. Everything I've seen, the ones I had to deal with last year that were late, had a postmark on them. So,
I mean, literally, none of my mail comes. I mean, I wouldn't know if I could. Looks like I could peel a stamp off and put it right on someone's.
If you know how to read it, there is a postmark on it.
There's a way to track it.
Well, someone should tell me.
Okay, well, go to the post office, I'll tell you.
For another time. But there is a way to read it. It can be done. So we do know if it's later, if it's on time.
It used to be a red stamp over your stamp.
Right, it used to be. But
that was back in the days when they used to pay people.
I don't know. Why we should really find a way to do this electronically.
Well, next year. We're working on that, too. It's easier said than done. All right, so that's the language that is going to go in the district tournament. Rules. I will send the whole package to Steve. That district tournament rule package will be up on the website. The simple solution to all of this is don't be late. All right. You've got till November 1. If they think they want to do districts, send their money in. Send $400 to Amanda. Her address is on the website. You have a month after that to decide if you want to stay in or not. You don't want to, on or before December 1st, you send me an email or pick up the phone if you have to and say, Tobe, my PWB team wants out of districts. Okay, fine. I write it down. It's taken care of. After December 1st, you're in. It's not a month, but you need the money. The deadline to get entered is November 1st. The deadline to withdraw is a month later. $400, one form per team, sent to Amanda.
That form's on there, isn't it?
Yes, the form is on the website as well.
I just would like to add this in regards to the form of your teams filling out. I have received several that I have had to go back and request contact information because they're not putting that on there. There are spots for the team contact, the teammate, please make sure they are filling that information out. That is the method I have to communicate with them to let them know, first of all, that I've received their information to enter into districts. Also, how I bill them later for the remaining balances and such, so as completely as possible. Yes.
What do you want for the division where we have playing games?
All that I need for, like, for instance, especially house teams, is if your association in most cases pays for that, somebody in your association who's going to be text, for instance, I'll use Graha as an example because I've already received theirs. Jean is their contact person, and all she writes on the form is Squirt B, team to be turned, that's fine. Pee-wee B, team, she's the contact person. Once they decide who's going to participate, when we get to district, actually, then we'll know who's coming. I just need to know that your association is putting a team in division and someone to be in charge of the contact.
It works pretty slick if you follow the steps. It worked real well last year, worked even better the year before. So just make sure all of those forms are filled out and sent to Amanda with a check for $400 per team.
Going back to this, that 103, Mike, you have Stapleton look at the problem with that last, the very last sentence is what. No team will be allowed to enter a division that, as long as it's in our rules, I'm just saying, is it?
Well, Joe, I'll tell you, I'm not going to, that is going to stay the way that is, because how is that fair if team number 9 comes in and now all of a sudden I got to put a team that properly entered on time, sent their money in, did everything they were supposed to do, now I got to go back and tell them they got a play-in game because somebody was let in late? No. For our district rules, we can do this kind of stuff. We're just telling them up front, if there are exactly 8 teams in the tournament, you're not getting in. We're not going to force someone to a play-in game that didn't deserve it, all right? Or it isn't, it just didn't deserve it, period. All right. Continue, we're able to clear out the recorder. Hey, Stevie, before I forget, will you take this thing with you when you leave, the recorder?
I think you want that.
Yes, I do. Thank you. Because I'm afraid I lost everything when I set it on, uploaded it.
You got it up there.
I got it on the computer. I got the 2 on the computer.
Okay. All right. So, we're back in the new business department. Your girls and women's intend to enter state tournament. They don't do district. Any of your girls' teams, there's an intent to enter form on our site as well for them. It's a little different than ours, but that needs to be sent to me by November 1st as well.
Can I ask a question?
Uh-huh.
Since Brett used to do all this stuff for us, is there anything I need to do for AAA?
Send through me, AAA teams.
Frank, is there something I need to do?
Send me your, just an intent. Bucks. Well, no, you don't have to send any money. We already had Lansing already. They simply stated in an email that they wanted to be in state tournament.
And it goes to you?
Send it to me, I'll send it to Roger. State which teams want to be in. Just simple email telling me you're mad, Bantam majors, minors, whatever.
Okay.
All teams that want to be in, let me know. And then what they do is, I think it's some date in December that they pick. They go by the rankings. They go to My Hockey Rankings, and then we decide at the state playoff committee meeting in December. They rank the teams, and then we figure out who's got play-in games and who's got what from there.
Do we know for districts when the runner-up tournament is yet?
Dates. No, we don't. If there's a runner-up tournament, if you're the district tournament runner-up and there are short numbers for the state tournament, they take teams to do a runner-up tournament, which is notoriously in the middle of February, and it's usually been the president's weekend is what they managed to do the last couple of years, which is a pain, but probably won't know that, Frank, until, I'm afraid, maybe December. But it's been typically, if there's a runner-up for the district tournaments, for the play-ins to the state tournament, it's been mid-February, but that's hard to say. It really depends on how many and where they're going to be as to when it actually is. But your girls and women's, stuff to me, team or player exceptions. Got a couple to vote on tonight. Team exceptions for less than 20 games, your older age group kids, your Bantam AA's. If you're having trouble getting games, you're going to want to fill out one of these exception forms. They're online on our district site. The instructions are there with it. You're going to want to fill it out. You're going to want to send it to me. or at the very least, team exception, you have to bring it to the November meeting. I have to take all team exceptions to the December State Playoff Committee meeting, and they're voted on there. The problem is we don't meet as a body until after that State Playoff Committee meeting. They take no team exceptions after that December meeting. So between now and November 12th, any team exceptions I've got to have. You guys, if you're having trouble with your older age group kids getting games, like midgets, if you think you're going to have a midget team, and obviously it's still too early to tell with high school, hasn't that dust hasn't settled, get an exception form filled out, get it started. If you think you're going to have a reason to need that exception, get started on it now so that you can get it to me by November 12th. Because after that, you can get it to me after November 12th, but we're supposed to vote on them as a body first here, and then I take it to the State Playoff Committee meeting, and it gets voted on there. 99.9 times out of 100, whatever we do here, they do the same thing with it at the State Playoff Committee meeting. But I need to take them in early December, so I'm going to need team exceptions by November 12th to vote on here at our next meeting.
Can they be emailed to you on the
Yes, record? Absolutely, email.
As you know, in my case, Gene's going to email them to you.
Yep, email them to me. That's ideal. That's great. Just make sure the coaches have signed them. Make sure your USA Hockey number is on there. Player exceptions, I can take those right up until almost the middle of January. And then it's not a problem with taking those to the winter meeting in January. That's not an issue. It's the team ones that they won't deal with after the December meeting. A team that looks like it's going to need an exception for one of the reasons listed on that form, get that thing filled out and get it to me. You know, I know Joe, some of the guys in the northern areas have trouble getting games. You got to have 20 as a team by first game of February 1st. If you don't think you're going to make that, how an exception? So, those of you that have exceptions, if you bring them up here, please, real quick, I'll breeze through these. We'll read them over. I'll just tell you why they're asking for an exception. And then we will vote on them as a group.
2 outs, Tigers up 5-4. Just are loaded with Tigers.
Tigers right. Have bases loaded.
Yeah.
Take our little Tiger break there. Yeah.
2 outs.
All right. This one is from Ann Arbor. They have, this is a Pee Wee House team that has 17 players. They have one. Too many on second year. The rest of them, the kids are distributed equally amongst the three Pee Wee teams, but based on the number of second year kids that came in, one team was going to have one too many, which is fine. They filled out an exception, but they have to ask for that exception, and we have to take that forward. So, my recommendation is that we vote to pass these, and I would take them on down the road in November.
There's more than one Pee Wee.
We have three Pee Wee teams.
One
of them is out of formula. You're allowed so many second-year kids based on the number of kids on the team. There are one too many on this one team. It would have been one of the three would have had one too many. It just happens. This is the one. So,
good.
Discussion? Anybody? Comments? Everybody understand what we're doing or trying learning as we go with this thing, what we're doing with the exceptions? All right. All those in favor of passing this one, say aye.
Aye.
All right. Thank you. Ann Arbor's. We have two from the Junior Lumberjacks. They have one Pee Wee B team. No travel teams, right? Okay, so they have less than three teams in a division, so there too is a reason to ask for a team exception. They're asking for a team exception for less than three teams in a division. Discussion, comments?
How many players?
18. Okay.
So, I'd really like to table that one till next month. And the reason being is, well, okay, let me ask a question. If you're to look at that roster today, 18 kids, right? Are there 10 kids that were on that same team? There's not 10 from...
Same team.
Yeah, they could be on the,
okay.
Another
let
association.
Let me rephrase my question, okay? All right, they played for the Lumberjacks last year. Okay, is there 10 kids on that team that played Lumberjacks last year that are playing? Still, I'm looking for rosters. I had asked earlier to get the roster that you've got now because I want to compare it to last year's rosters because there's a rule in the book about number of players 50% that played on a different team in a different association
with
coming.
Different coach.
As it looks at coaches, managers, and so I want to verify that first.
You're talking about. You said Lumberjacks. I think you meant Chiefs.
From the Chiefs.
Chiefs.
You're saying from the Chiefs to the Lumberjacks.
Correct.
From last year to this year.
Yeah, because I'm trying to get the roster from the Chiefs last year. Because these kids are all traveled last year, and I want to get that roster, and I want to look at where they.
Yes, that is not accurate information. I know we've team. There's a coach that's kids from his team currently rostered on that team. Less than 50%. Other 12 kids are comprised of rec league kids or sports that aged up.
Three or four players that played Pee Wee A last year on that team.
True.
Taylor.
Yeah. All right, you got just get the names. We don't need names.
You got one player that played on the Squirt AA team last year.
What are you getting at? Because there's nothing that stops those kids. If they want to play house this year.
But he's seeing that he's got 12 rec players that moved up, and it's just not the case.
That's semantics, Tim. That's semantics, okay? If those kids want to play house this year, that's their prerogative.
Yep.
Okay, if he doesn't have more than 50%, according to the book, then that's... That's fine. If you want
to... So we just need to verify the rosters.
You verify the roster that they're from last year.
That's all that I wanted to try and do, and I haven't been able to get last year's stuff, and I was waiting. My request to you guys was that once a roster is put together, to send it.
So this one, we can set this one aside. There shouldn't be an issue with that.
That's all I want to validate is that. And really, I guess you can vote on it because he said that there isn't, so...
We can find different. We can bring it back to the
We
table.
Can vote on it in November. That's not an issue. And it doesn't sound like there's going to be one.
But I don't think there is. No.
All right. Next one. We'll table this one for the Pee Wee team for next month. The next one from the Lumberjacks is Squirt Bees. They have less than three teams in the division. And they're asking for an exception as well for less than 20 games prior to February 1. Let me say something before I get too much further with this. It never hurts to fill out an exception. If you don't need it, no biggie. It's if you don't do one that we get into a problem. All right. So if you think you're going to need one, can't hurt to fill one out and send it in. All right. I'll take it, and they get voted on as a blanket most often at the state playoff committee meeting. Don't need it, no problem. No harm, no foul. But just cover your bases to get it sent in ahead of time. You think you're going to need one. All right? So this is Squirt B, less than 20 games, less than three teams in a division. I see no problem with that at all. Any questions about that? Any discussion on that? All right. All those in favor of passing this exception for the Lumberjacks, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Next one. The two teams, you have only the two, right, Andrew?
Correct.
Okay, this is the second Pee Wee or Squirt B team. Second Squirt B team, same request, less than three teams, less than 20 games by districts. First game, districts, February 1. Any discussion from anyone? All right, all those in favor?
Aye.
All right, thank you. So we will table this one until next month, and those I'll start compiling to take to the meeting in November. All right. So
we don't run into the problem that we just did have a team. Esther, like if this group had a discussion, because you have less than three teams that we would need last year's roster.
Not unless we wouldn't need a roster unless there was concern about where those kids were playing if they crossed associations.
Mm-hmm.
If there was a concern that they had more than 50% on Toby's team and he had played in Brian's association last year, then we would want to see rosters and compare apples and oranges there. But otherwise, there is not a need to see a roster.
And the only reason, Muskegon's one of my associations over there, and so I have some questions, and I have the information that I want. Recommendation, that's why I'm asking table until I can see stuff.
Okay.
Otherwise, I'd keep my mouth shut.
I don't know that I can't send this to everyone. If your teams, this is new, if your teams are going to Canada to play just a couple of games, there is an exhibition form that they have to fill out now. No money. Surprise, surprise, for Maha, no money. But there is a form they need to fill out, and they can get that form from Shirley Decker. All right? So even if you're going over there for just a couple of games, you got to fill out a form. It says it's a travel permit for exhibition games. There still is the tournament. What is it? A travel permit for tournaments. I think that's what, there's a fee for that. I don't know,
$10.
$10 or something. But you still have to do that for tournaments. But there's, now you have to do one to go to play a couple even one exhibition game.
Does that cover Tier 1 and Tier 2 or just Tier 2?
I would imagine. It doesn't say Tier 1, but I would assume that it will. It's all USA Hockey and Hockey Canada, so they're all going to be lumped in there together.
Can we check on that? Because George sent me an email and said, fill out the
form. Here we deal with this.
Submit your money.
We battle with this.
I was told we didn't have to do a permit to go to Canada in tournaments, just games.
Right. And then they come out with this exhibition form. No money.
And why are we paying for it, period?
Well, what they're paying for is to go play in a tournament. The $10 is for a tournament that they're going to. Seems to be some confusion as to when they're going to play a couple of games.
Seems like every kid paid $45. I don't know what the problem is.
Well, you know who to go call and ask why.
Oh, I got a lot of people to call at USA.
I wouldn't go that far, even. You don't have to go that far. I was asked about AAU teams and tournaments and who you get, because we have a strong AAU influence in the Chicago area. It is the responsibility of the coach, manager, together, to know what you're getting into tournament-wise, especially if we're running up and down the west side of the state, because some of those AAU teams may come up from Chicago to play. It is the responsibility of the coach and the manager to know who you're playing. USA Hockey teams, Hockey Canada teams, all carry a certified roster. I don't know what an AAU roster looks like. I've never seen one. But it is the responsibility of anyone, USA Hockey, registered to make sure that you're playing only USA Hockey registered teams in these tournaments. So before you send money in, call the tournament when you're talking to them about entering their tournament and ask them, do you have a sanction number? Are you going to be letting any AAU teams in? Are there any AAU teams in this tournament? I ask these questions ahead of time. If you're not sure, you can either call me, call George. We'll try to find out the answer to that question. Well, there is a big AAU influence in Chicago. So, and those teams do come this way to play games. So, careful.
Has it happened yet?
Got close. Some money was sent to a tournament, and they found out who was going to be in the tournament. Fortunately, they were able to back out before they played anybody. But so, responsibility, coach, manager, it's their responsibility to ask questions ahead of time.
I would say encourage your tournament directors that are happening in your ranks, whether they're a big company or just somebody in your association, that should be public knowledge.
Sanction number has to be published for USA tournaments. That should be fairly self-explanatory. But
sanction numbers. Going to a tournament and having sanctions that you're playing, you see a team, ABC, Warehouse, you don't know if they're AAU or
USA. Well, and a lot of times what will happen, too, is if a tournament doesn't have eight teams, they'll go grab somebody.
Yep.
You know, they'll try to snag somebody at the last minute, and next thing you know, it's anybody's, you know, it's Toby's team, and it's an AAU team, or even worse yet, they're not even registered. Just a group of kids that threw together to make eight teams.
So what's the penalty if a team plays a sanctioned team such as an AAU?
It's going to be a case-by-case basis, Frank. I hope we never have to deal with it, but
I think minimum's 30 days for the coach.
Yeah, unfortunately it comes back on the USA Hockey coach. It's his responsibility.
I'm just worried about the Thanksgiving tournaments in Chicago.
Right, and unfortunately it's just like the 4-hour rule.
Yeah.
We can't tell them who they can and can't let in their tournament, but it is up to us to know before we get into them who we're playing.
That's where USA and Maha, whatever the heck Illinois' name is. I mean, if we have a tournament in District 6 and we find out that it's a USA-sanctioned tournament and that tournament director is allowing an AAU team in, I have a hearing on the tournament director. And the tournament director is not going to be in business with USA Hockey in our district, that's for sure. So, I mean, we can't control what happens in Chicago, but we can damn sure control what happens here.
Always ask questions. If you're not sure, you know, look far enough out. If you're going to be going somewhere Thanksgiving or Christmas, look far enough out. Start asking questions if you're not sure. We'll see if we can get some answers ahead of time before we end up in a problem. I don't have anything else there. On the subject of AAU teams, there has been, you've seen stuff in Hockey Weekly regarding AAU teams. I went to their website and looked around in their website, and right now, the only thing that I know that they have are Might teams. I do not see anything beyond the Might age group. And that's heavily populated down in the Detroit area for the most part. We have one, I think, that's out of Ann Arbor. It's playing in the AAU league, which is, can't stop that. They can do that. Kids can go play bowl. But right now, all they have are the Mites. So I was concerned as to where they're coming from or what might be out there. Right now, in Michigan anyway, it's just Mites.
So, Toby, you just said a child may be rostered on an AAU roster.
Just like a coach can coach bowl. You cannot stop them. What we say to that, Kevin, is they cannot wear the same colors, same uniforms as an association. I guess that's the big one. They can't use the same name.
They can't use the same name. They can't pay their fees to a USA Hockey Association.
So
a kid could play on a team out of one.
A team wouldn't be out of an association. That team would be a standalone AAU team. Be a member. That team's not a member of any Maha association.
Right. No, I understand that part, but I'm saying from my.
Yes.
I think you're going to see more of it.
We keep hearing about it, and thankfully, right now.
Right. But what I'm saying is that that's going to be something that association's got any nights over here put up the bill association.
Yeah. Well, that's Casey. You guys deal with that right now. I mean, yeah. You got one team right now that, and that happens right now. But it's tougher on the border associations, Chelsea, Ann Arbor. That's where it's really tough. Is because right over the line, they're playing full ice Mites.
I would hope. I mean, in all reality, if you have a coach in your association that's coaching an AAU team at the same time, I would hope in my association.
That's easier said than done, unfortunately.
That's what the coaching director's job kind of is to make sure that you're following USA. So, I mean, that's kind of where I'd put that squarely on your coaching directors to say, hey, you want to coach this AAU, you're not going to coach my USA.
So that's to be dealt with on an individual basis. I mean, we can recommend, we would like to see, if you will, but there's nothing we do to control it.
That's an association control.
That's
the
right.
USA Association right. Can control who coaches in their association.
Right. Is AAU playing on the Flint area, too?
Could be.
Don't know. I haven't seen anything. There was nothing on the beginning.
I think they're so loosely organized that nobody really knows anything about them.
One of the coaches.
I mean,
they might have a team or two. Flint is really... really struggling right now with anything and everything to do with youth hockey. So, other reminders on there, please make sure this information right there at the top, I added this from last year as well, what you're looking at as far as money output for district tournaments, state tournaments, play-in games, I have no idea on those dollar amounts, but let your teams know ahead of time. So, you know, if they want to put in for districts, that's great, we want them in, but just let them know so they understand what they're getting into. They understand that, you know, you could have a play-in game with cost money, that costs money. You have district tournament, state tournament play-in game, maybe state tournament game. So the possibility is there. All right. Then the tryouts for the spring teams again. I don't have anything else. Does anybody at this time have anything, Kevin?
The only thing I got to say, and I know Toby harps on this, is you guys got to take information back to your associations. We did the ADRE scheduling meeting on Sunday. House teams, coaches, managers were totally lost what a play-in game is and what did their schedule. They were scheduled for play-in dates. They were scheduled for districts. And that's the first thing I harp on and talk about. They didn't have a clue. Scheduling on the 4th and 5th of January. Our league ends February 2nd. They were playing games on Saturday. Yeah, I'm going to districts. It's like, they just don't understand. So just remember, especially at the house level, those people don't understand.
I know last time we met about maybe directors going back to their association. I talked to Jackson, and Michigan doesn't do, but they were both reception. Just tell me when. Neither.
Yeah, if we can. I mean, I've asked if they can do it, if our directors can work it into their schedules. I haven't been able to make any, but if you can work it in, don't be afraid to wander over to a meeting. You can get there and help them. But it is tough because I try to get these dates out there as early as possible so people know ahead of time. Coaches, when they go to Caesar, schedule meetings for Traveler House, that they don't book these weekends because I try to get that out there for them. But
back to the turnover of people. I mean, we're just starting, we're 2 weeks in season. Thank God, you know, when you run yours, Gene run, you don't have to deal with that a lot. But all they get the information is people.
There's that, Paul, and there's also, I just you saying that, when speaking about turnover, for those of you that are here, or even if you're a guest, if you're interested in doing this kind of a thing, or work with someone, if you are the rep for an association, don't be afraid to bring someone else with you to these meetings. You're welcome to bring more than one person. I know a couple of guys from the Jacks come up, and there are other people that bring more than one, and that's good. Because what you're going to find out down the road is all of a sudden that Maha person is gone. And then what happens? You know, you're lost. And you're really in a bind because you don't know where to go, what to do, what questions to ask. So, you know, certainly it doesn't hurt to bring more than one person. Kind of have two people in training, if you will. So, do you have anything else?
The only other thing I got is, I know, Paul, we tried to work on it last year, is associations out there again that were awarded districts that obviously they've started off on a bad foot already. They're not here tonight. Looking at this stuff is, you know, what are we participate in these meetings? We awarded them tournaments.
It's a simple answer for me. We take the tournament to somewhere else, but it's your district. It's your decision that helps to run this district, and I need your input on what you want to do. There is no right or wrong answer, but for those of you that are taking time out of your evening to be here, maybe you didn't get a district tournament. Maybe you got a district tournament, you're still taking the time to come. Is that really fair for those that don't bother to show up? I mean, I don't schedule these meetings 1 month at a time. These were done in March. So it's new. People know when these meetings are. And some of the people that are missing are regulars. They know better. And they're not sending anybody. So, something to think about, because I think that come November, you know, if there's a couple of people that aren't here that are hosting, I think we need to do something differently.
I said, do you guys have anything in place, like 2, 3, 4 consecutive?
No, long time ago there used to be. There used to be some policy. Enforcing that kind of a thing is a little more difficult. But we can move the tournament out of their building. That can be done.
And it has been done in the past.
And it has been.
So what do you want to do? That's why we were stuck last year. I mean, we could write up a proposal, call it to a vote here. Is that what we want to do?
I think that's fair. I think that it needs to be some discussion, group discussion. You need to come to the meetings. You're not here, you're behind. I know boards change, I know names and people change. It happens. And we're willing to work with you. That's what we're here for. But when seasoned vets aren't showing up and we award them a tournament, well, that doesn't look good. I think would a couple of you guys want to step in and put something in writing? That's the big one. It's like I talked to you about your bylaws. You can do just about anything you want if you put it in your bylaws. So, same kind of thing. I mean, does somebody want to raise their hand and put something down on paper that we can look at for next month? You can put it down, get together with a couple people, put something down, send it to me. I'll make copies and bring it to November. And we'll decide then.
And I can print out an attendance.
I've kind of got a running tally on the attendance myself. And
I'll do it if nobody else wants to, because it's somebody gets forgotten about, and I know we're busy when we award them, but it gets forgotten about who missed when. So
we've threatened for a couple of years at least, I know, too.
So to make that a heavy spread.
Well, just saying, it's all of us that are here all the time. Yeah. It drives us crazy.
Yeah.
It drives me absolutely
crazy. I have policies and then a running spreadsheet that we can just update each month.
You have a second.
It's time to award it.
You can't get anybody to show up. I mean, we wanted, I asked and we talked about this year, asking for everybody to have at least two people that, you know, okay, Tobe can't make it to the meeting, so he's going to send Jill in your place. And that's fine, so you're sending someone. But when you don't send anybody, you know, that doesn't do anybody any good. That hurts us. We because we get into a situation where all of a sudden you've got tournaments, and like Paul said, it's frustrating. People aren't showing up. So it's your district. I'm all in favor of it, folks. I have no problem putting six district tournaments in one building if need be. People need to come. You guys are making a sacrifice to be here. These folks are making a sacrifice to be here. I understand things happen, but got some repeat offenders. So, Jeff, if you want to work with Frank, put something in writing. You guys shoot me a copy of it. I'll print it off. I'll bring it to November. We'll decide what we want to do, if we want to tweak it or run it through as is.
How will you get with you got the credit card.
We have a policy written with our board that we could probably almost print with. So I'll get it to you.
Tweak it to...
Which is what?
Policy where board members don't show up. They're there. Because we have set dates. It's a commitment you sign on for. You volunteer.
That'd be really easy.
Next month, too, we're going to decide where we should be pretty good shape, figuring out who's going to have midget teams, who has a better idea that they're going to have a midget team. High school will be done by the time we meet on the 12th. They'll have selected their teams. So barely, but they'll be...
Yeah, we start late this year.
We'll have a better idea what's left, at least who's got numbers or has a few kids that are interested. We may have to do a couple of co-op teams. Oh, the tryouts don't start until that late?
Yeah.
That late.
One Monday after.
Okay, so
the first game isn't until the 18th. They have to play until the 18th.
Toby, I got a question for you. Safe Sport, do you want this sheet and the certification?
I don't need the certificate, Jeff.
You need this.
I don't need it. You need to have track of that Safe Sport form. Show everybody what that form looks like. That's on our website.
Yep. No, I've gotten from some associations, all I've gotten is a certificate, so I will email you back and let you know what I'm missing, or that I'm missing this.
Everybody has to have one. Safe Sport coordinator for every association. And I actually got all the JV teams sent theirs, too.
Yep. So, yeah, all I'm missing is Grand Valley, which we talked about, and then Big Rapids, which we know. So,
other than that, we're going to go. Now, Tim's working with a handicap with him.
He's going to Rick.
And we've got a name there. There's an individual that volunteered for it, but I'm not on the board. It's Tim's job.
Well, Blash was told to send it.
All right. He didn't. Now, I have asked the directors to stay put, so if anyone...
My one question before you go.
Yes.
Anybody who has House C Bantam?
Adams?
C Bantam. Yep. Association's going to have C Bantam.
When are going to draft those? Did you talk to this one about when you're going to draft them?
Yeah, that is.
You already did?
No. We haven't started yet.
Lighthouse Bantams.
Toby, you want to bring up that board trip just to ask if anybody else has issues?
Jeff, and then I'll get to Paul for...
Yeah, I had one quick thing, and maybe I missed it, but are they doing the Red Wing USA hockey jerseys for Mites this year or no?
I haven't heard anything, Jeff.
Okay, so tell our association
I wouldn't say no at this point. I've not heard anything.
Okay.
Well, Paul brought up a point while we were on our little five-minute break there about the delivery. For those of you who got boards, took advantage of that and got the boards, the new boards, that Maha helped offset the cost. Tell us what happened, Paul, and you guys.
The truck showed up. We don't have the forklift at the rink. We had the rinks down and it just showed up.
Well, that's today. It just happened today.
Yeah, and we were called. We could have a few people.
1,800 pounds.
Wow.
I'm going to be at Port University.
1,800 pounds.
Made the total. D1 team bring them in the building.
8 pounds of board. Yes. So they're huffing and puffing. They called them.
But they just, see, I wonder if that, you know, if that happened to you too, then I wonder if it's not the delivery company that somehow...
It must be the delivery company.
He's got a contact.
Yeah, ours just came today, so they don't have a thing to bring her down. Obviously, they don't have a forklift. So,
you know, I mean, I would assume based on what we've been getting, you don't get a phone call.
No, they just showed up.
I mean, it's just like when we ordered tempered glass.
Yeah,
you know, tempered glass is two sheets is 500 pounds.
That's why.
And the truck just shows up. They don't call you prior to say we're coming.
Same thing.
Really?
I thought Gene's calling me. Well, how am I going to get these boards? I'm going to be back for a few hours. The truck driver said, "Get them off, or I'm leaving."
You can refuse.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
But the state that Maha has to pay that.
What we need to know then is. Do you guys know who the delivery company was? Because I don't know if Maha contracted with a company to deliver.
Gene would know that. I'll find out.
I'll find out too.
I guess from the manufacturer.
phone call.
You're not a manufacturer.
Who's the manufacturer? That's
I didn't know we were even...
All right, folks, any other questions before I call to adjourn? All right. I guess we're not worried about voting, so no other questions, meeting adjourned. I would like to ask, though, please, I need the directors to...